Anybody who knows me knows that I speak one language. When I say language, I'm not talking about physical language. I'm talking about another kind of language, a life language. Anything that has anything to do with warriors, I'm always drawn to. That's why my friends who watch Game of Thrones just cannot believe I haven't seen an episode of it. But anything that's warriors, 300, Lord of the Rings, Troy, Legends of the Fall, I'm always about warrior. And people that try to get me to understand stuff, if they can put it in warrior terms, then, okay, I understand what you're saying. I said that to say this. Some of the greatest prayers that you can ever pray are what I call dangerous prayers. Dangerous in a good way. When you say, Lord, I want you to use me, that is a great prayer to pray. But that's also a very dangerous prayer to pray when it comes to your flesh. Because when you say, Lord, I want you to use me, that means that you are no longer functioning under your agenda. You're functioning under God's agenda. And when God uses you, he sends you where he wants you to go, tells you to do what he wants you to do, and puts you in atmospheres and settings and around people a lot of times that you never thought you would be around. There's no higher privilege than to be used by God. But to really be used by God means 9 times out of 10, you're coming out of your comfort zone. Effective Christianity is rarely comfortable. So as you are growing in God, and as you are learning God's word, and as you are reconnecting with God and reconnecting with people, there are things that are tested in your character, and there are things that God allows you to go through for the simple but yet profound experience of developing you. When I was a kid, one of the hardest things for me to learn how to do was to ride a bike. And for some reason, I couldn't balance. And so I had training wheels on my bike. Training wheels look so weird on a bike, but I had training wheels on a bike. And finally, one day, my dad just got frustrated, and he said, the only way you're going to learn to ride is we're going to have to take those training wheels off. And so my dad took them off. And you all, I was wobbling, and I hit the fence like 5 or 6 times, and I just couldn't get it in my mind. You just push back to activate the brake. But eventually, after I hit that fence that 5th time, something clicked in me, and boom, I've been riding ever since. At some point, God is going to take off the training wheels. And let me tell you something. The thing that God is most concerned about in your life is not how often you go to church, not how many ministries you serve in, not how much scripture you know. God is concerned about your character. Nothing matters to God more than your character. And when the Holy Spirit is really working in your life, there's no way you can walk close with God and God not deal with your character, because it is the goal of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and you're submitting to his word and you're crucifying your flesh, that your character become more like Christ. And in order to become more like Christ, you and I have to daily die so that he can fully live in us. So watch this. This morning we talked about walking in love. But you cannot walk in love unless you are one who walks in forgiveness. You all, let me tell you this. And sometimes when we talk about forgiveness, we make it seem like it's the easiest thing to do. Forgiveness is one of the most necessary virtues of the Christian life, and it is one of the most challenging virtues of the Christian life. And 9 times out of 10, forgiveness is not an instant thing. It is a process. It is a process. Hear me when I say this. I heard somebody say this one time, and it's kind of heavy. It sounds kind of crass, but I knew exactly what this guy meant. He said, I have dealt with a lot of people who are on their way to heaven, but they are mean as the pits of hell. And when he said that really bothered me. And I said, what do you mean? He said, some of the meanest people that I have met and dealt with have been people like you who call themselves Christians. Now, he wasn't talking about me, but he was saying that has been his experience with Christians. And as I was talking to him, I'm like, okay, I understand what you're saying. But what brought you to this point? And he said one of his best friends who is a Christian, now he wasn't a Christian, but one of his best friends who was a Christian hadn't spoken to him in like 3 years because of something that Christian guy found out about his friend's past. He said, man, it didn't have nothing to do with him. But when I shared that with him, when he found that out, man, he shut me off so quickly and completely. And he said, I wonder, is God that way? Oh, let me tell you something. The reason why it's so important that your character be right, and the reason why it's so important how you treat people, is because you and I are the greatest representation of God. Christians are billboards for God. You hear me when I say this? I was in Costco one time, and I'm walking in Costco, and if you have a Costco card, but you don't have any money, if you go to Costco on a Saturday, like around 11 o'clock or lunchtime, you can get you a good meal just from samples, just by walking around in Costco. Now, I went up to this lady's booth, and she had this turkey pastrami jalapeno sausage, something weird like that. And she asked me, did I want some? And I said, no. I said, that doesn't even sound right. Turkey pastrami jalapeno. That doesn't even sound right. And she said, well, why don't you just test it? No, that's okay. But I noticed all these people were going up to the thing, and they were getting some. And I saw some people going back, and I heard her saying, you've already had two. You can't get any more. And I was like, all these people are going. It must be good. So I came back and I was doing like this, and I heard that. And then she made it real appetizing. She got a pretzel stick and stuck it in the sausage. And I'm just kind of standing there looking. And then she calls me out in front of everybody and she says, I know you want some, don't you? I was like, no, turkey jalapeno pastrami sauce, no. And she said, just try it. Here. She said, I'll tell you what, if you like it, I'll let you have two. And I was like, well, okay. And so I picked it up. And when I picked it up, I heard somebody in the back said, did she say she gonna let him have two? And I was like, is it that good? And so, you know, when you're a kid, you're like. But I was just like looking and I said, you know what? Forget this. Let's just do it. And I bit it. You all, it was so good. And I bit it, and I ate the pretzel, and I looked again, and she said, you like it, don't you? Here, get you another one. And I was like, okay. And I just, and I ate it, and you all, it was so good. The sample was so good, it made me buy the entire product. The sample was so good. It made me buy the whole product. I'd never seen a commercial. Nobody ever told me about it. I just saw the lady just ask me, did I want some? And I got a sample. When the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, God is good, but God wants his goodness to be reflected in his people. You and I are samples. What we taste like to the world will determine if they take Christ or not. I don't believe the world really has as much of a problem with Jesus as it has a problem with those who misrepresent him. So watch this. Before we go to the word, are you a forgiving person? Let me tell you what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not putting on this Disney face and acting like nothing ever happened or nothing went wrong. That is not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not religious denial. Forgiveness doesn't act like it didn't happen. Nor does forgiveness ignore what happened. Because there are some people who think once you forgive someone, you're just supposed to act like nothing ever happened and you all just lock arms and go watch Moana or something. No. Forgiveness is not denial. Also, watch this. Forgiveness is not void of feeling. If someone hurts you, forgiveness does not ask you to deny that you're hurt. If someone made you angry, forgiveness does not deny that you're angry. If someone offended you, forgiveness does not deny that you have been offended. But what forgiveness does, forgiveness deals with the offense. And hear me when I say this. It's Derek, right? If Derek is my friend, let's go even deeper. By Derek being my brother in Christ, if Derek does something that hurts me, according to the will of God, I'm not to go and blab it out to everybody else. That's between me and Derek. I'm to go to Derek and deal with Derek one-on-one. When I come to Derek, I let him know that what he did hurt me, bothered me, bruised me. And when I let him know that, I say, listen, I'm angry, but I forgive you. I'm hurt, but I forgive you. Stand up. But watch this. Act like you're holding an iron that you iron with. Act like you burned me in the chest. Kind of like the way Negan did that man on Walking Dead, okay? Act like you burned me in a chair. He burned me. Watch this. I can forgive him for burning me, but it's going to take time for this wound to heal. And there are a lot of people who think that if someone hurts you and you forgive them, you're supposed to act like nothing ever happened and swallow all those emotions. Forgiveness is a process. I forgive him. I'm not going to hold it against him. But at the same time, I may need some space and time to heal and deal with that. Does that make sense? And one, and what I don't want us to be as Christians, I don't want us to be actors who walk around and act like everything is okay when it is not. Thank you. Let me tell you this. Because when you start talking to real people and dealing with real issues, I'm talking about dealing with real issues. I was talking at a conference one time, and this girl asked, because she talked to me after we were talking, she said, how do I forgive my dad when he molested me for like 3 years? He's in jail now. I understand what you're saying about following Christ, but how do I forgive him? Is it wrong for me to be angry even though I say that I've forgiven him? And we had to work through all of that. But watch this. One of the greatest ways that helps us to forgive or gives us the power to forgive is we have to remember this. Forgiveness is not natural. It's supernatural. And you cannot do it in your own strength. You cannot forgive like Christ in your own strength. That is something that you've got to ask God to give you the grace, the power and the ability to do. When I told you about that young lady that hurt me this morning, the one I thought I was going to marry and walked away, you all, listen, I thought I was a forgiving person until I had to deal with that. And even when I had made the decision to forgive her, I still had to daily lay that anger before the Lord. I still had to daily admit that I was hurt. I had to be honest about what I was feeling, even though I made the decision to forgive. It was a process. And one of the things that helped me, when I took into account how much and how deeply God has forgiven me and is continually forgiving me, it gave me a little more grace to forgive her. Because you all hear me when I say this. When you think about the things that God forgives you for, some of the thoughts that we entertain, some of the secret things that we wrestle with that no one knows about, when we think about the deep things of our heart that God forgives us for, if God forgives us, who are we not to forgive others? I knew I was going to do it eventually. That was my first time. Hold on. If you love someone, whether it's a friendship, a family member, or an intimate relationship, if you love someone, eventually you're going to have to forgive them. If you are close to someone, eventually you're going to have to forgive them. If you are doing life with one person or many people, eventually you are going to have to forgive, because people are flawed. We are flawed. People are in process. We are in process. And one of the greatest ways to grow in the character of Christ is to deal with other people that are flawed just like you. And watch this. God teaches us how to love like Him through the relationships of our lives. God teaches us how to love like Him. He teaches us how to forgive like Him. He teaches us to be patient like Him. He teaches us to do those things through the relationships in our lives. And there is absolutely no way that we can get around it. Jesus put it real plain like this. Jesus said, and when you stand praying, forgive. If anyone has an ought against you, forgive. Because if you do not forgive men their trespasses against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. You know, I've always wrestled with the phrase, the saying, forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Now, if I have a bag of Skittles, and y'all, I love Skittles. Do you hear me? Taste the rainbow. I love Skittles, especially the ones that come in a purple bag. I guess because, like, purple is my favorite color. Those, oh, the berry ones are so good. Yeah. But watch this. If Brian comes along, and he's running, and he bumps me and makes me waste all my Skittles, watch this. If Brian comes along and bumps me, and let's say he's playing something silly, like playing ball in the house, and he bumps me and makes me waste all my Skittles, I can forgive that. But let's say Brian is backing out of my driveway, and I'm letting Kingdom walk around, and he backs up over and crushes Kingdom. Watch this. You go from Skittles to Kingdom. You go from candy to the life of an animal. And let's say Brian was backing out of my driveway, wasn't paying attention, and let's say he ran over and killed my nephew. Watch this. it's easy to forgive certain things depending on the offense, but the deeper the hurt, the deeper the forgiveness, and the deeper the forgiveness, the more you need God to do it. And you all, as we minister to other people, one thing you're going to realize about life, we live in a severely, severely broken world. And you can't give people quick Christian answers with quick Christian cliches and one or two scriptures and think everything's going to be all right, because that's not the way it works. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But the key is surviving the night. My night may be 2 days. Her night may be 2 weeks. Her night may be 2 months. His night may be 2 years, but it's surviving the night. And when it comes to forgiveness, when you got anger and bitterness and memories and things like that, and you're trying to forgive, you cannot do that in your own strength. It takes the help of God. And you all listen. The Bible says, he who has been forgiven much, loves much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little. And what that means is this. When a person has really offended God, when a person has lived a crazy life, and they come to the Lord, and they experience the love of God, and they see how God has forgiven all of that craziness in their life, all those horrible decisions that they made, when those people experience that, they become so radically changed and they become so on fire for God because they remember how lost and wretched they were. But then when you get people who are morally decent people, came from a two-parent home, went to a good school, went to church, maybe have done a few bad things, and basically think in their mind they are good people. And then they hear the gospel, they feel a little conviction, they come to Christ, and they are excited about the Lord a little bit. Some of those people don't have that same passion because in their own minds, they don't think they were as worse off as the person who was out there on drugs and all that. Let me tell you something. Sin is sin. Lost is lost. And when Christ comes into your life, just the mere fact that he gave you the mentality to come to him, and now that you are able to come to him and him be your Lord and Savior, now you have a relationship with God, that is priceless. And if God has forgiven you, if God has forgiven me, that should be the greatest driving force for us to forgive other people. Because listen, when you hold grudges, when you don't speak, when you don't deal with things, when people offend you or something happens between you and someone else and you say nothing about it and you harbor that, what happens is inside that starts to fester. And then when it festers, it goes deep and it becomes a root. And once it becomes a root of bitterness, the reason why it's called a root of bitterness according to scripture is because if you cut a weed and you just cut the top of it, but the root is still in the ground, it's still there. A root of bitterness means it is deep within you. And what happens is you may be wearing a smile on your face, but your heart is continually growing dark. And listen, anger and hatred is an acid that eats away at its own container. And there are many Christians who are wrestling with that battle. When you forgive, that doesn't mean that person's getting away. When you forgive, the forgiveness frees your heart and it takes them off of your hook and puts them on God's hook. You know, one of my close brothers is going through a divorce. And the woman that he's married to is a religious person, but she's nowhere in Christ. And I've never seen somebody as mean as she has been to my brother. And it's really bad. And there have been times that this guy would call me, he would say, "Byron, she said this, she did this, she said this, she did this." And I'm so angry. And then he said, it seems like every time the worse she acts, it seems like the more good things happen to her. And he said, but I'm so angry. And I told him this. I said, listen. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. He said, Byron, that is so hard to do. I say, brother, listen. Continue to do that, because if you love, bless, do good to, pray for. Listen, love, bless, do good to, pray for. Listen, love, bless, do good to, pray for. When you do those four things, it keeps your heart from sinning against God. It keeps your heart right. And you all hear me when I say this. The moment you hold on to anger and bitterness, and the moment you refuse to forgive or even try to, you cut off your own blessings. You cut off your own blessings. And I'm going to tell you this, one of the hardest things to do is to go and talk to someone that you have an issue with when you know you are not in the wrong. That takes humility. And you all, I don't know how many people I've had to go to and say, look, man, we got to talk. We got to talk. This happened, that happened, I know, but listen, we got to work this thing out. That is hard to do, especially when your ego is this big. There can be no forgiveness apart from humility. Never. Never. I don't know how many times I've said, you know, I'm not talking to them no more. No, they can call me. I'm not calling them. That pride. And before I know it, I'll get to thinking, and the Lord will get to deal with my heart, and I'm like, say, man, meet me at Dunkin' Donuts. We got to talk. Forgiveness, you all. And y'all, listen. The Holy Spirit will not let you rest. The Holy Spirit will not let you rest when there is unforgiveness in your heart towards someone else. And you know something? The holidays are so painful for a lot of people. And the holidays are so heavy when a lot of families get together, because they come together, they exchange gifts, they wear these plastic smiles, they eat these meals together. But a lot of times when they come together, there are all these elephants in the room, but issues that people have with other people, and no one wants to deal with them, but they still bear the name of Christ. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. No pain is worse than family pain. When my grandmother died, on my dad's side of the family, when my grandmother died, they had a meeting at our house where they were going to read the will. And these are aunts and uncles and cousins that I have grown up with and seen since I was a kid. We're all at the house, and at the time my dad was in a wheelchair. We were all at the house, and we pull up and we get out, and I wheel my dad in. And people are talking, and I knew that there was sometimes they would argue amongst each other, but I didn't pay it any mind. You all, when they got to reading the will, it got so nasty that we had to call the police. You all, in reading that will and the things that were stated in that will, the things that were given, the things that were not given, the things that were given to some people, the things that weren't given to other people, you all, it brought up all these issues amongst my dad's side of the family that I did not even know existed. Stuff going way back for years. And I'm talking about it got malicious. So we had to call the police. After that meeting, and after my grandmother was buried, my dad's side of the family broke up, and in 3 years, we had 10 deaths in our family, and I preached every one of those funerals except two of them. And what was so sad is a lot of those people that died, they died still holding on to grudges that happened years ago. and they claim to be Christians. One of the greatest things you can do is deal with stuff and not ignore stuff. Go to Colossians 3. This is what I'm going to give you, Colossians 3. And while you're going to Colossians 3, let me say this. And you might want to write this down. And you can put it in your own words. People may forget what you say. And people sometimes may even forget what you do. But people never will forget how you made them feel. People may forget what you say, they may forget what you do, but people never will forget how you made them feel. Is there anybody in your life that you just love to be around? Whether they are Christian or not, there are just some people that you just love to be around because being around them is like being around a bundle of light. Being around them is just like a breath of fresh air. And y'all, let me say this. There's a friend of mine. She's an atheist. But you all, if I did not know she was an atheist, I would think just by her nature and the way she treats people and how sweet she is, I would think that she was a child of God. Hardcore atheist. But you all, she has the sweetest, most kind and forgiving nature. And what bothers me is when I see people who don't have Christ exhibit more of his character sometimes than those who do have Christ. And my greatest goal for myself is I want to make sure that I'm that kind of person that really bears that fruit that the world needs to see when it comes to God's love, God's grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness. Colossians 3. Shoot, I was at the wrong scripture. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the earth. When he says set your mind, it's kind of like when you set an alarm clock. I'm going to get up at 7:20, so I set that alarm clock. I intentionally set it. Set your mind, when it says on things above, it's not necessarily talking about the clouds and the sky and heaven. When it says set your minds on things above, set your minds on the higher things of God. Verse 3, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, you all, you have to do this intentionally. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. When it says bearing with one another, that means there are going to be times it's not going to be easy to deal with each other. Bear with one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So also you must forgive. Your homework is to go back and read those verses and read them slowly and really meditate on them. Compassion. Kindness. And you know what, you all? Nothing feels better than when you have really messed up with someone and that person forgives you and embraces you again. There is no greater feeling. You all, the young lady I was telling you about, you know what? Scratch that. Let me kick it like this. And I can watch it at any time, but I don't know why I like looking at it during the holidays. And my niece and I, when my niece was a little girl, and she was 4 years old, and this is gonna sound so morbid, I let her watch Jaws with me. And so Jaws is like one of our signature uncle and niece movies. And whenever she comes home from college, we'll sit down and watch Jaws. And there's a part in there where they're singing the song "Show Me the Way to Go Home." We sing that all the time. The second movie that we watched together, and I love watching it during the holidays, is Forrest Gump. You all, Forrest Gump does something to me. Every time I watch it, it's like I'm seeing it for the first time. And if I'm ever just, you know, flipping through the TV and I see it, y'all, I gotta stop and either watch it to the end or watch it as long as I can before I have to leave or whatever. But I love Forrest Gump. And let me tell you something. The virtues that were in Forrest were just off the charts, especially when it came to his forgiveness, when it came to Jenny. You all, when I first watched Forrest Gump, I got so angry at how Jenny would do Forrest. And notice, Forrest loved her unconditionally. Forrest was always there for her. Forrest would write her daily. Forrest loved that girl like ugly on an ape. And Jenny would come in his life and out his life, in his life and out his life. And finally, at the end, when Jenny got sick and came back to Forrest and found out they had a child together, Forrest had every right in the world to say, you know what, I feel sorry for you. Yeah, I'm going to take care of our son, but you need to go. You've yo-yoed me all my life. Forrest forgave her, married her, and me and my friends were talking one day at Papa Do's, and we were talking about the movie, and they were saying, finally, she loved him in the end. And then I said this. I said, you know what? Did she really love him? Or did she come back to him because she was sick and she knew that he would be there because he'd always been there? I said, I don't know. I would hope that she did. But you all, as when the way he forgave her is the way I see God forgives me. And that's the way I want to forgive others. And I'm going to leave you with this. Stand up, Derek. But when you forgive, forgive in wisdom. Derek, do like this toward me. Other hand. This Derek is a snake. And this is his bite radius. Let's say he bites me. Psst, he bites me.
Derek.
Now, Derek is a snake. I know he's a snake. And let's say in dealing with him the first time, I didn't know he was a snake. But let's say once he bit me and I saw that he was a snake, I can forgive him. But just because I forgive Derek the snake for biting me, my forgiving him doesn't stop him from being a snake. So because he's a snake and I know he could bite me again, I've forgiven him, but now when I deal with him, I stay out of his bite zone. He can bite me here, he can bite me here, but I stay out of his bite zone. This woman that I was talking to one time said, Byron, my husband hits me all the time. And when she and her children finally ran to a shelter, she said, I've forgiven him, Really, I have. So does that mean I go back to him? No, it doesn't. You've forgiven him, but he's still a snake. And if you go back to him, he's going to bite you every time. Until there is clear evidence that God has dealt with that man, changed that man has gotten counseling, everything, you do not go back. Because you don't go back doesn't mean that you haven't forgiven. No, you've forgiven him, but you've forgiven him in wisdom. Does that make sense? Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents, but harmless as doves." There are some people you forgive and you can be cool with again. There are other people you forgive and you have to keep your distance. There are some people that you forgive, and though you've forgiven them, sometimes there are some relationships that cannot be restored. It's a sad truth of in life, but that does happen sometimes. Just make sure you do what is right on your end and forgive before God. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that if there's anyone struggling in this area, that you would help them. Father, it's not easy to do. No, it's not. But Father, you said in your word that your grace is sufficient. And I ask that you would give us the grace to not only love like you, but to forgive like you. And in forgiving like you, help us to forgive from the heart, sincerely and purely. But Lord, protect us as we forgive. Tonight, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, through this message, you will touch on some areas in our heart that need to be tended to. In Jesus' name, amen. Before the band plays, let me say this. When you go to your discussion groups tonight, I want you to ask this question. Honestly, do I consider myself to be a forgiving person? That's number one. Number two, is there any one, or are there more, or is there more than one person that I need to forgive? And then number three, and this is the big discussion question. What's the hardest thing about forgiveness when it comes to me, speaking about yourself? What's the hardest thing about forgiveness when it comes to me? And I'll tell you something that I've struggled with. And I don't struggle with it as much as I used to. But sometimes it tries to creep back up. When I forgive someone who's just really hurt me deeply, and then I get on Facebook and I see them and they're just really enjoying life like nothing has happened, sometimes there's a part of me that just goes, but I have to lay that before God. This is real, you all. Discuss.